McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
The Department of Homeland Security said they may participate in a new reality show in which immigrants would go through a series of challenges for a chance to become a citizen. It's called The Real Housekeepers of Orange County.
So, joke aside, this is a real thing. There's actually a guy out there who has worked on The Biggest Loser. He's worked on Duck Dynasty. And his idea is a reality show where immigrants compete for citizenship. Not even false. This is a real thing. So there was actually a really, really good interview done with him. Elizabeth Vargas did an interview with him. The guy's name is Rob Warsoff. And kind of asked him about it.
Will this reality show path to citizenship ever make air? Let's ask the producer himself, Rob Warsoff, who joins me now. Okay, I got to ask, how did you get this idea?
I'm an immigrant. I'm from Canada, and I got this idea 20 years ago when I was going through the immigration process myself. I learned about premium processing at the time. For an extra fee, you could get them to look at your file quicker. And I thought, why isn't that a show?
It's like Disney Fast Pass or whatever. It's like skip the line, you know? Premium. John, did you know there was premium processing available for people who pay extra?
I had no idea.
I didn't know
either.
It's
like a Fast Pass. I like that.
Yeah, you know, which I guess makes sense because you're defraying the cost of the thing, so maybe you get a benefit. But, you know, means that if you're a rich immigrant, you come in before the poor immigrants. So, I don't know. Whatever. And he's a Canadian immigrant, which is always, to me, like immigrant asterisk. You know, I always figure like...
Wait a second. Why do you say asterisk?
Like, I mean, Canadians are just Americans who live north of a line, right? I mean, if you immigrate from Canada...
Okay.
It's not a massive culture shift, right? Okay.
Okay.
So anyway, they have
a
particular way.
They
drink the wrong beer and they say the wrong things, but that's, you know, whatever. So he says not only are they wanting to do it, but he's been pitching this idea since at least the Obama administration.
Actually... pitched this show under President Obama to a woman by the name of Bobby Faye Ferguson, who was the Hollywood liaison to the Department of Homeland Security. She was very receptive to it.
Okay, first of all, the Hollywood liaison to the Department of Homeland Security? Like, which way did the liaising go? Was it the Obama administration telling Hollywood what to include, or was it the Hollywood people trying to consult to get their information accurate, like having a technical consultant? I don't know. I maybe don't want to know at this point, but so they were working with her. It was right around the time of the first the re-election, and they kind of put him off a little bit and then told him eventually, well, after the election, maybe we get stuff settled down, and then things and...
Unfortunately, she passed away. I actually took it back under President Biden. I spoke with another person at DHS. They were very receptive. They said they're taking it to Alejandro Mayorkas. And about a week later, he became the first non-president in American history to be impeached. And I said, well, there goes that pitch. And then I was able to bring it back again. Both of those administrations, by the way, both Democrats were receptive to this.
So Obama and Biden were both receptive. He's had bad luck. One person died. One person got impeached. The people that he's trying to work with. But what about Trump?
You've already pitched it to the Trump administration.
I have, yeah.
Okay, Obama. Biden?
I did. Yes, both Obama and Biden.
And Trump. You've pitched it three times to three different presidents, and so far...
Yes, and all of them were receptive, everyone.
But it didn't happen. Do you think it might happen now?
I'm hoping.
So, an immigrant contest reality show... for expedited processing for citizenship, what would it look like exactly? Well, there's been a lot of mischaracterization of this as, would you believe, on social media, people misunderstood a thing.
Yeah, I'm very happy you asked. So nobody moves backwards in this show. This is not, you know, you qualified this show coming in as migrants competing in a path to legal immigration. That's not true. Anybody who takes 5 seconds with a critical mind to think about what this show is would only be able to conclude what it is, which is a celebration of America. We're very lucky to be American. It's an honor to be American. All the people on this show will be people who are already in the immigration process, who are all very likely to become future Americans. And all I'm offering is to jump to the front of the line and fast-track that process.
So she had asked him, I don't know why the clip, this wasn't part wasn't in the clip because I meant to grab it, but she says, so it's not a Hunger Games for immigrants. And he's like, no, that's ridiculous. That's not, to be honest, I'd probably watch that. But no, it's more like The Biggest Loser. And we'll come back to this in a second, because this is actually, I think this is, I would watch this show. It's a really interesting premise for a show. Would you watch it? 437-1620. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Isn't it called Squid Games?
No, stop it.
All right, brought to you by Barbary Plumbing. When it's time to call the plumber, call the best of the bay winner, Barbary Plumbing, at 477-8782. Still rolling accident-free right now. Not seeing any delays on I-10, I-110. It's looking good. If you're rolling through 98 eastbound through the Windhaven Beach area, expect about a 10 to 15 minute delay there due to construction and congestion. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
You've got to etch the symbol into the cracker.
I know, right? That's all I can think of.
They're all immigrants who are not here illegally.
Correct.
Okay. Because, there's been a lot of controversy lately over people who are in the immigration process but are still getting deported. None of your losing candidates will get deported.
Of course not. That's ridiculous.
Right. It's meant to be people who are already in line, people who are on a path towards citizenship, which people who live here already, okay, and are on a path towards citizenship. And then, you know, maybe they're waiting in their country and they could be brought here for it as well. But basically, the idea he thinks is, can we just showcase immigration?
I mean, I can't even believe people hear a headline and then they immediately, their imaginations run wild. I mean, I don't understand why people don't, you know, even submit to a little bit of a fact-finding mission before they make crack judgments on things. Of course not. That's ridiculous.
Well, spoken like a true Canadian immigrant. Welcome to America. That's what we do. I'm not defending, I'm just describing.
I worked on the first season of The Biggest Loser, and when that show was announced, people recoiled in horror at the idea of fat shaming and calling fat people losers and saying, you know, these people have heart attacks and diabetes and you're gonna exploit them on television on a reality show because they're fat. They recoiled in horror. And then people saw the show and said, oh, of course, this is this amazing, wonderful, kind show. That's exactly what we're doing here.
So, I mean, I think it sounds wonderful. I think it sounds interesting because you get to expose these people to all kinds of things about what it means to be an American. And I don't know exactly what the voting would look like, what the criteria for continuing to thrive. People who are voted off the show, presumably, if it's not just an ongoing contest for prize totals at the end or something like that, would go back to their line. And again, it's not that they get citizenship. They get expedited processing. So there's no guarantees at the end of it. But, you know, Biggest Loser, if you first encounter that idea, you think, oh, my God, what are they going to do with these fat people? And then you watch the show and you're like, oh, it's really uplifting and touching and emotional. And you see the struggles and you learn things. And it's also fun and entertaining all at the same time.
The Biggest Loser for immigration. And we're going to put a face to all these people who are on this journey and want nothing more than to be a part of this country. And we're going to humanize them and we're going to celebrate them. This isn't, you know, you're off on a boat if you don't perform. Nobody's going back any further than whatever place they're in line. And they're all going to be great candidates and future Americans at some point. I'm just offering to speed up the process for one of them.
So here's where it gets to be kind of interesting. 437-1620, what would you like to see on such a show? Would you watch such a show? I think it's a very pro-immigration show, which is what he imagines it to be, too, as an immigrant himself. And what I like about the idea is it would really, sometimes it takes outsiders to show you who you are. And one of the sort of long-standing truths about America is that sometimes immigrants understand America better than Americans, because they understand what it's like not to have it, because they have lived outside of it. Just like when you travel to a foreign country and then you come home and you're like, oh, I'm never going there. You know, thank God I'm back. But so much of knowledge is from contrast and compare, right? From experience of something else. And a lot of Americans have no experience of anything else. So we don't even know all the things that we take for granted. We don't even know all of the truth about what America is and why people want to come here and sometimes take it for granted. One of the reasons that immigrants often outperform American, you know, natives at business or any endeavor is because to them it's precious and they see the opportunity that they didn't have somewhere else. So, I mean, I kind of love this idea. Now, the one thing I wonder, you know, because obviously the Trump administration has very much been anti-illegal immigrant and very much been anti-criminal illegal immigrant, criminal in addition to being just illegal, right? People who have actually committed other kinds of crimes. This administration, I'm curious whether they'd be really in favor of a show that portrays ordinary, regular, law-abiding immigrants in such a positive way. I would think yes, because it's a way to bolster the credibility of the claim of saying, we love legal immigration, we hate illegal immigration. And I think it's kind of cool.
I don't know where it stands, but I know that that I want to make the show and that it will be made respectfully and safely, and it will be a celebration of America in the most positive possible way.
Yeah, and I think so too. I mean, talking about going to Ellis Island and going to a car plant and working in a car plant for a day and, you know, just doing a bunch of different kind of ordinary American activities. The citizenship, like being carried aboard the citizenship is what he's talking about as a play on words, right? Traveling the country by train, stopping in different regions and doing challenges like balancing on a log in Wisconsin or building a rocket in Cape Canaveral or working on a car assembly line in Detroit or whatever other things you could come up with. Getting paid in things like $10,000 Starbucks card or free gas for life or a million airline miles, like not cash.
It sounds like the Amazing Race, the American version.
Right. And I just think it'd be interesting. Now, I know that there's sort of funny versions of this that we're not really going to engage in.
Two men enter, one man leaves.
You know, it's not going to be Thunderdome, okay? It's not going to be Hunger Games. It's not going to be anything like that. But, you know, I think it's sort of got opportunity. As somebody says, it might create empathy. Agreed. Agreed. That's kind of a cool thing. 722 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Somebody says, I have non-immigrants do work with immigrants doing their jobs, picking crops, roofing, bricklaying, house building, the way an average American can see the value of the work some immigrants do on a regular basis, right? I know for me when I, you know, I go around, I see a lot of manual labor. I don't see a lot of white people doing the manual labor, right? That's just reality. And typically working really hard, you know, that's reality. So that's kind of, I mean, if you could see that showcased in a good way, because he's, I mean, he clearly believes in immigration. He's clearly trying to show a good thing. And the idea of, the premise is competition where nobody loses, only somebody gains. But the effect would be getting a slice of this particular issue that is not the normal way this stuff gets covered in the news. So anyway, somebody says, I'm 437-1620. I'm excited about the possibility because hopefully Americans will finally learn basic civics, right? Immigrants having to pass the test to naturalize usually know more than the average American. Somebody says, I like the idea of the show because I think it will just really educate a lot of people about the actual process. Agreed. It could be a teaching tool along the way for how immigration works legally. Somebody here says, let's see, 437-1620. Let's see. This is the person who is always against me on everything. It's disgusting that you have fun and disgusting. I'm disappointed in you. It's dehumanizing. Fascists love this. Bleep this idea. I'm very disappointed in you as a human. Okay. Well, everybody's got an opinion. Somebody else says, while it sounds entertaining, I think it would portray the citizenship process as a joke. I think he would make sure that doesn't happen. I will say, here's my one concern. If you've ever watched a reality show, reality shows are always cast in order to create drama, in order to create controversy. There's always a villain. There's always a foil. There's always a mook or a bad. You know, like they deliberately gin up the controversy. I'd be worried about that because I don't think you need to go deliberately casting. And also, you don't need to go deliberately casting only great people. Just an average cross-section of immigrants would be interesting. But again, I think it's a pretextual tool for teaching about the process, about the realities, about America. John, would you watch it?
I would, and I would sign you up as the first opportunity.
To make me re-earn my citizenship.
Right. I think like, maybe we need to re-earn citizenship.
Yeah, no. I mean, there's often been a thought that maybe Americans would do better if we had to earn citizenship instead of being born with it. You might take it more seriously. You might understand it better. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. Not seeing any accidents to slow you down. Let's see here. If you are on 98 westbound approaching the Garcon Point Bridge through that construction zone, please be aware there's a delay there. Also, I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 is starting to see delay due to congestion through the construction. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
One of my favorite church hymns on the topic of prayer is entitled, I Must Tell Jesus. The four verses deal with two topics, handling heavy burdens and fighting sinful temptation. Here are the words to the first verse. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. That's powerful, right? Here are the words of the fourth verse. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus and he will help me over the world, the victory to win. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever you're facing today, whether it's heavy burdens or it's sinful temptation, take time to pray and tell Jesus and let him work in your life.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church. The Florida Department of Health in Escambia County works to protect, promote, and improve the health of everyone in your community. Listen in today at 10:30 to the Pensacola Expert Panel when Director Marie Mott will give a public health update. That's today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Let's get Mikey.
Yeah.
He won't eat it. He hates everything. He likes it. Hey, Mikey.
So when I'm in the grocery store and I hear Corey Hart or, you know, Van Halen or Styx or, it does happen, Smashing Pumpkins, Nine Inch Nails, historically my response is, oh, I'm getting old. You know, when Nine Inch Nails was classic rock, right? But no, I had a new thought on this, okay? John, have you ever had that observation? Like, oh, how old must we be that the grocery store is now playing our music?
No, I just sing along.
Okay, fair enough. I've got a new optimistic take on this.
All right.
It means that maybe when we're all in the retirement home, that instead of playing Engelbert Humperdinck or Frank Sinatra or, you know, some Muzak or whatever, they'll be playing, you know, Pearl Jam.
Exactly. And we can host a talk show.
Yes, exactly. Like, maybe the retirement home is going to be awesome, you know, because we'll have our music to play. Because, I mean, they're surely not going to inflict the, you know, what? Perry Como on us. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Population at 4,000.
It looks like peace talks between Russia and Ukraine could be on the horizon. In a post on Truth Social, President Trump said his call with Vladimir Putin went very well yesterday. Trump suggested further talks aimed at ending the war could take place at the Vatican. And Netflix apparently picking up Sesame Street. Netflix announced yesterday they've reached a deal for the exclusive worldwide premiere rights for the long-running children's show. episodes of their 56th season hit Netflix the same day that they premiere on PBS.
I was going to say, so it's not instead of PBS, it's in addition to,
yeah. So.
Okay, smart. Absolutely. Smart to expand your audience to a place where they, you know, the homes that do not have over the air or a dish or something like that or cable, they can get it on Netflix because you got to figure everybody's either got A or B available to the kids.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. A member of Congress is charged with assaulting officers during a deportation protest earlier this month.
Acting U.S. Attorney Alina Haba claims Congresswoman LaMonica McIver assaulted, impeded, and interfered with law enforcement when she entered an ICE detention center in New Jersey. McIver says she and two other members of Congress who entered the building were fulfilling our lawful oversight responsibilities.
Fox's Ryan Schmelz on Capitol Hill. There's tornado damage in Arkansas and Oklahoma now. It's been several days of violent storms with more in the forecast.
Strong to severe thunderstorms will once again be our biggest weather story today and tomorrow, with the risk of large hail, damaging winds, tornadoes, and flash flooding. The risk today will be over sections of the Ohio, Tennessee, Mississippi valleys, and then along the East Coast tomorrow.
That's Fox senior meteorologist Janice Dean. Stock futures are mixed ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 76 degrees. It is partly cloudy this morning in Pensacola. We'll get a full check on our forecast with Brooke Richardson from Channel 3 in just a few minutes. Governor Ron DeSantis has announced plans to veto a bill that would expand medical malpractice lawsuits related to family deaths. He expressed concern about that repealing a 1990 law, which limits claims for non-economic damages, could lead to skyrocketing insurance premiums and an increase in lawsuits against healthcare providers. Despite strong legislative support for that bill, the governor emphasized the feedback he received from healthcare professionals, which raised significant concerns about potential impact. He also suggested that lawmakers might consider implementing caps on damages in the future to manage that situation. Abortions are down 40% statewide this year. Florida reported 13,951 abortions this year. That's a 38% decrease compared to the same time period in 2024. That follows the implementation of a law in May of last year that restricts most abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. Last year, there were 22,409 in the first 4 months of the year. The drop is particularly significant among out-of-state residents. Only 456 abortions reported this year compared to 2,000 in the same time frame in 2024. Well, Santa Rosa County Commission Chairman Kerry Smith expressing some frustration with recent news reporting following the resignation of a member of the zoning board who stepped down and expressed frustration with the Board of County Commissioners for not considering their recommendations.
I realize that as a former member of the zoning board, that in the past, I felt as a member of that zoning board that the Board of County Commissioners was constantly voting against us. And it is so far from the truth because I didn't really realize it until I got in here.
And Smith asked for clarification from county officials who said that the Board of County of Commissioners had only overturned 11% of the zoning board's recommendations since 2020. Smith said that he may be hypersensitive about protecting the Board of Commissioners because it's their reputations that are on the line. He went on to say that while the narrative that they overturned many of the zoning board's decisions may be someone's truth, he said it's not the truth. Now, the number of travelers expected on Memorial Day weekend is expected to be record-breaking this year. AAA forecasting 45 million Americans on the road between May 22nd and 26th. That would break the previous record set in 2005. More than 39 million people are expected to travel by car. Meanwhile, 3.5 million people expected to get to their destination by plane, a 2% increase from last year. 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. If you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect about a 10 to a 15-minute delay. Also, southbound Highway 29, just south of 9 Mile Road.
You're seeing some delays there. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing a mostly sunny day today with temperatures near 86 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Wednesday, high near 89 degrees, 40% chance of a stray shower. Temperatures Wednesday night dropping near 70 degrees. Going into Thursday, partly cloudy skies with a high near 86 degrees. And by Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 68. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now we've got 76 degrees. In Pensacola and Gulf Breeze, 75 reported in Milton. Your next news at 8. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable. Now look at our market report from Your Money Now.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The USTA is making its largest ever investment in the U.S. Open. The tennis organization will invest $800 million to modernize and upgrade Arthur Ashe Stadium in Flushing, New York. The project is scheduled to be complete by 2027 when the U.S. Open occurs. Experts say new tariff policies might be setting the stage for cyber criminals to scam consumers. Teresa Payton, CEO of Fortalis Solutions, says the swiftly changing and unfamiliar landscape of tariff policies, along with economic strain, can create the perfect storm for cyber criminals. Wynn Resorts has dropped its bid for a gaming license in New York City. Wynn had partnered with related companies to develop an integrated casino resort in Manhattan. Las Vegas Sands also recently announced it is relinquishing its pursuit of a casino license. Futures are currently mixed. Monday, the Dow Industrials gained 137, the NASDAQ up 4, the S&P 500 up 5. Once again, futures are mixed. That's Your Money Now.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
The cost of healthcare is in the news. Tune in tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as ProHealth will be the guest and we'll be discussing the ProHealth Medical Membership Program as well as the 20 affordable on-site ultrasounds they now offer. Find out how ProHealth can help you take out the stress and the cost of healthcare tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
I can simply tell you that his robbery spree is over. That's what you're going to get if you rob businesses will rob people here in Escambia County. Our deputies are going to do whatever they can to stop you and to stop you as quickly as they possibly can.
Sheriff Chip Simmons yesterday during a press conference that his agency held to detail the chase and crash and capture of somebody wanted in connection with several armed robberies at convenience store. The one that we saw most vividly yesterday was at the Raceway on Airport by I-110. Chip Simmons is here in studio with me. Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So I have a couple of questions. One question that I wasn't sure about. Actually, can we just tell the story briefly for people who may not have caught it earlier or when David's been talking about it? What happened in this case?
Well, we had identified Donson as a suspect in a number of robberies. We've been working with the ATF, with Pensacola Police Department. And so we kind of suspected
ATF.
Him. ATF, right.
Interesting. Okay. What was ATF's angle of interest in this?
Well, there's a potential for some of these cases to go federal.
Okay.
So we want to get them in the U.S. Attorney's Office involved in it from the very beginning.
Got it. Okay.
And so we were doing that. Well, and we had developed him as a suspect so much so that we were doing, our detectives were doing some surveillance on some vehicles that they thought that he might be in.
Okay.
And at one point we noticed that he had stopped out in front. He had stopped his car nearby the Raceway on Airport. And so we thought, oh, maybe this is when he's going to do it. Well, in the meantime, we see him exit we don't know what he's doing inside the Raceway.
So he wasn't pulled up at the parking lot of the Raceway?
No, he parked his car about a block away.
Okay. So that makes more sense to me.
Suspicious. We think we know who this guy, that this guy's the robber that we've been looking for a while now.
Yeah.
And we just didn't have probable cause to make an arrest.
And you weren't like, they couldn't see him through with binoculars through the windows that this was happening.
All because he was the parking lot.
Got it. That makes more sense. Okay.
Our detectives who were in unmarked sheriff's office cars,
of course.
Unmarked Tahoes, see him. They see him leave the Raceway through the parking lot, drop something, and ultimately it was money. He drops some money out of the bag. And then he's carrying his black bag and he's wearing the hood and the sunglasses and all that.
The robber uniform.
And so he leaves, and then we're like, okay, we think this is obviously suspicious. He gets into the car. We start to stop the car. When we get the 911 call, sure enough, it was a robbery. So now we knew we had the suspect. We saw him leave the store. We see what he's wearing, and we try to stop him. He's not stopping. The 911 call comes in, which verified that this guy did have a gun. So the chase is on, obviously. And we talk a lot about pursuits. We talk a lot about pit maneuvers. And sometimes there are pit maneuvers that are more aggressive than others, depending upon what the bad guy does and what we feel the danger to the community with letting this guy go.
And by the way, just pause you for a second. I was actually talking to somebody the other day, had never heard the term. And a pit maneuver is just an effort to stop one vehicle with another vehicle.
Pursuit intervention technique, I think, is what it's supposed to be called. But you know, I call it, we bump them, put them in a ditch, do something like that. But the bottom line is we use our car to stop their car. And it was an aggressive pit maneuver, if you will.
From the front.
Well, but you got to understand that we had to stop this car as quickly as we possibly could. And I think people need to also understand the dangers involved in what's taking place. Before our marked unit, before Deputy Abney struck the vehicle, we had an unmarked police car following them or trying to get them stopped and even tried to do a pit on them before. It's not as easy as it looks on television. You got to think about these cars are going pretty quickly and they don't care about the rules. And we also understand, or we knew, that this individual was a armed robber and he had a weapon. And so he's obviously very dangerous. So these are the types of things that make me proud to be associated with the sheriff's office. It makes me proud to say that our detectives were on him, for a long time. That makes me proud to say that we had a great working relationship with the ATF and with our other partners. And then when you see the actions of the deputy, this is why we have in-car cameras and body cameras so that we can show and reveal just how great a job that they do.
Well, and you made the point in the press conference you mentioned again just now about the danger. Here you have somebody that is a known, believed to be a known, convenience store robber with a weapon.
Right.
And you're head-on colliding with him and stopping him, and the video is kind of precious of his expression on his face that you paused it
right at that moment.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I almost wanted to turn that into a GIF because it's great.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then, but you don't know at that point, like that exact moment, is he going to hands up surrender, which he did, Where's he going to go for his gun and fight back? And you're facing him 6 feet away through your, you know, right. I mean, across two hoods, basically, is the only difference between you. And it's a pretty, potentially, a pretty, you know, concerning situation. We'll come back to this in just a second. We're talking Chip Simmons, Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to report, but if you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, we're starting to see some major congestion and delays, about a 10 to 15-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Sheriff, you mentioned yesterday in response to the question, how many crimes was he connected with? It was obviously the four you had previously plus this one, three or four anyway. But it seemed like it might be a quite bigger number than that. And I'm assuming that the reason you can't say specifically is because of some of these federal issues and what might be involved in some of those events. Is that
That's absolutely correct. It's going to be a lot more than four.
Okay.
I will tell you that there are some things that we can say on a state level, which I do.
Yeah.
And there are some things that we don't want to compromise any investigation. So I wanted Makes to sense. Wait until the federal authorities get their opportunity to process what took place and all. But what happened, again, with the armed robbery is we had to take the step that we took. When we took it.
Do you happen to know, now, if he's done many of these, then we're talking about many clerks, okay? But do you happen to, I was amazed at how calm the clerk was, you know, doing what he did and responding and just not giving him any reason to shoot him, going through two cash registers in the process. Is he okay? Have you talked to him at all, or do you know?
I haven't talked to him, but, yeah, his demeanor was pretty calm and collected. I'm not sure if he had been robbed before, but he was doing what I think that he should be doing to protect himself and whatever customers might be there. But again, this guy had a gun, and the gun had a bullet in the chamber.
Ugh.
And, again, this guy was willing to do what he had to do to get away and until we did what we had to do to stop him.
One of the things we've talked about in the past when it comes to physical force intervention with car versus car is the cost and damage to the Tahoes or Explorers. What do you guys drive?
Tahoes.
Okay, it is Tahoes. Okay. But you put these enhanced bumpers on the front.
Right.
Which protects the car itself from having to do the, you know, repairs. How bad was the car? I mean, is that a common thing where you still have to do repairs to the cars? Or is it now with the new bumpers, are you more safe from that?
Typically on a stolen car that we're not sure exactly who's stolen the car, but we talk about, we stop those. You'll get behind the car, and we teach our deputies to get behind the car and nudge their bumper with our bumper. So we typically
like moving
don't
sideways
have a lot.
Across
yeah,
their
we don't
bumper.
Have a lot of damage on our car, and then we pin them. If it's damaged, it's superficial. In the case where it was the other night, Deputy Abney's car, it did have an airbag deployment. He hit the car pretty good.
Yeah, it was.
But intense. Like you said, we don't know. We know the guy had a gun, and he's, first of all, he's already a convicted felon. And then he's got a gun. Then he's doing all his robberies. He needs to be stopped. He is a danger to society. And so he took the opportunity. Had he let him get by him, then who knows what's going to happen behind it. Now, it takes some guts. It takes some wherewithal to do what he did and to say, you know what, I'm not letting this guy pass me.
Agreed. Is he okay, by the way?
He's okay. Okay. He was okay. He did have some injuries. The airbag deployed.
Yeah.
And so he suffered some injuries there. But you know what? He did a great job. And I was smirking a little bit, smiling a little bit all day yesterday because of the good work that our detectives did, The cooperation that we had, and again, just to get out there and a commitment to catching a bad guy is something that I'm very proud of.
You know what I'm going to ask next. I think Detective Abney has earned a vinyl sticker on the side of his car. I think that, you know, I know you laughed me off last week, but I'm just telling you, if we're going to go down this path, I mean, he deserves a helmet sticker.
Well, the car's going to need some work. We're gonna fix the car a little bit, and again, that's why they get into law enforcement. They get into that so that they can do that type of stuff, stopping those types of bad guys, and actually the detective that was out there as well. I mean, think about this, Deputy Abney get there for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
So our detectives were there behind him the whole time. She was not going to let him get away. In fact, on the video, I made sure that we saw her as well. She was on the back. She's the one, the second bump.
That came in there.
Yeah. She tried to do a pit maneuver on him first and wasn't able to do so. And then Abney was able to complete the stop.
Well, it was a great takedown, an excellent incident, and you know, fantastic police work all around. A couple of other stories that we do want to make sure to mention. I think it was on Citrus Lane that there was a deceased person found, a body found. Is that right?
Yeah, we're working it as a homicide. There was a male found off of Citrus with a gunshot wound, and that's all we have right now. Obviously, our detectives have been working on it. We got pulled away from one to work the other because what people may not understand is that the same detectives that work the homicide also were working this armed robbery. They work some very serious crimes, and usually it doesn't happen back-to-back like this, but in this particular case, they were pulled from one to the other. But we have all the available resources working on the active homicide investigation.
We also had you had your memorial service on Thursday during Law Enforcement Officer Memorial Week, and I've been to a couple. I haven't been in a couple of years, but this was a chance to use the new facility,
right?
Which has, I assume, better seating, better shade, better for this exact purpose, right?
Yes, I wouldn't say it has better shade. It's a memorial plaza.
Okay.
And so, yeah, this was our first opportunity to honor those who paid that ultimate sacrifice. We talk a lot about what our deputies do and how brave they are. They're brave because they understand that the worst could happen.
Right.
And this was our opportunity Thursday to say thank you in our new memorial plaza. It's not 100% complete. There's still a punch list of things we have to do. But it was pretty much ready. The wall is up. The names are up. There's a star etched in the center. There's some what we call stadium seating, but mm-hmm. it's 3 or 4 levels of seating. So it was just it was a great way to honor those who paid that
And also, by the way, the former facility that you used to have did not get destroyed. It got moved to Molino, right, at the substation up there, which is very nice.
Right. There was nothing. Really wrong with it. It was just too small, and
right.
It was oriented in a way that we didn't make use of the area, the property that we have up there. So a lot of effort was made to, hey, can you move this? Can you keep it all in one piece? And we want to put it up. There was room up there off in front of our Molino substation. So they did a good job of moving that thing up there. And so now that people that may live in the northern part of the town, if they want to pay their respects, then they can go up to our Molino substation. It's right off 29. So we're very happy with the way it worked out. Can you have enough, monuments to the brave men?
Well, and you mentioned the danger, and we had there was a sheriff's deputy pass away from a cardiac event after he helped somebody push a car off the side of the road, and the stress of the job and the stress to his body and all of that, and there are all kinds of ways in which your officers are at risk every day. It's not just the most obvious, felon shooting back at you after committing a robbery. There's all kinds of things, putting a ticket and somebody. If they're in the roadway, basically, it can be all kinds of danger. Last thing I wanted to ask you about, that you had another incident on, is it Navarro Road? You had a fight over a bar tab and their shotgun was involved.
Yeah, we had two guys that knew each other, and there was an argument over who was paying the bar tab. And then we get a call on a disturbance at Navarro, and the claim is that I think his name is Jarman. Jarman pointed a shotgun from a porch at an individual that was sitting in a car.
Okay.
So there's some questions. Oh, if he's protecting himself from his porch. Well, it wasn't his house. It was the guy sitting in a car's house. And he was just letting that guy stay there for a period of time as they were acquaintances.
Okay.
And so when a deputy got there, they evaluated whether he was reasonable to think that guy's life was in danger. Typically, if I'm on my porch or my house, and someone comes to my house, first of all, you get the benefit of the doubt. But secondly, in this situation, I don't think that, or the deputies didn't think at the time that it was reasonable to believe that his life or someone else's life was in danger. So we ended up arresting him, charging. We retrieved the shotgun. We were able to do that because it wasn't his house. He hid the shotgun in a house that wasn't his.
You don't have as much right to use castle doctrine on somebody else's house.
Yeah, and
against them,
right? Yeah, against the owner of the house,
right?
Just letting you stay there. It's a little different scenario, but all things considered, we talk about this all the time, and we've been doing it for years. It's a reasonableness standard. Is it reasonable to think that your life or someone else's life is in danger at that point? Mm-hmm. And it was not. The deputies that were there, that talked to witnesses, that evaluated the scene, they felt like it was not, so he was charged with aggravated assault.
And even if you guys don't determine that it's a legitimate self-defense or stand your ground or castle, whatever, you don't determine that at the scene, that can still be brought up through subsequent defense. It can be a strategy, legal defense. And so that's not ruling it out. It's just that your preliminary, you know, didn't show that. And, you know, that doesn't rule it entirely off the table.
Right.
Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, a pleasure. Thank you so much for the time. Thank you for the good work that your agents do and for, you know, showing us. I mean, I love seeing the video, and we get to see what people do. And it's really an eye opener a lot of times to, you know, what goes on that we might not necessarily see if we're not out on the roads when that stuff happens. We'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
7:55 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Let's see here. If you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, you're going to see some delays in that area. Also, I'm seeing some major delays on Highway 90 as you approach Avalon. Right there, let's see here. I forgot the name of the road. Parkmore Plaza and Jamie Lee Drive. That light right there. We're seeing some backups. It's all the way back up to Stewart Street. So just be aware of that. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Piggins with your traffic on the fives.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
Culver's knows that everyone appreciates a fresh meal that comes from the heart. They take great-tasting burgers seriously. Culver's Butter Burger begins as a fresh, never-frozen beef seared to perfection, then topped with real Wisconsin cheese and a lightly buttered toasted bun. And for a limited time, the Colby Jack Pub Burger and Lemon Ice are back. Visit Culver's today. Mobile Highway at Softly Field, Bayou Boulevard at Cordova, Highway 90 in Milton. Third-party delivery and curbside pickup is available. Culver's, welcome to delicious.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show, talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
Gun Show this weekend in Crestview, Florida. Hundreds of guns, knives, ammo, coins, and more. This is a buy-sell trade event. Private sales and sellers welcome. It's a brand new event located at 410 West James Lee Boulevard, Crestview, Florida. Saturday, 9 to 4, and Sunday, 10 to 3. Admission just $10 a person. Kids under 14 are free. Discounts for law enforcement, military, firefighters, and first responders. For more information, go to usagunshowsfl.com.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
How do you get shirts so clean, Mr. Lee?
Ancient Chinese secret.
So heteronormative. And fine. 7:59 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne has a headline or two for us. David?
Well, Secretary of State Marco Rubio will be facing questions from senators today. He appears before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee to discuss his department's proposed budget request. And Andrew, doctors say you're better off not hitting snooze on your alarm. New study out in the Journal of Scientific Reports says that the minutes just before you wake up are the most important phase of sleep. They say that's when REM sleep is at its peak.
But I still get those before the first alarm, right? don't I?
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.